It is a joy to be with you. This morning, we're going to be talking about thinking through legal issues biblically. I have arranged it under just three main points with a lot of subpoints. I want us to try to narrow our attention as we can. As we get started, let me pray with us. Lord, we love you and we thank you for the opportunity to be here today and this week, to be able to enjoy the fellowship, to think through the various issues that will be discussed. Lord, I pray that you'll be honored in the way that we think, the way that we process, and the way we try to apply this in our local ministries. Thank you for your goodness to us, including this conference. In Jesus' name, amen. Recently, we had a lady, she texted me and said, I just caught my husband abusing our child. And so, of course, as a counselor, I'm thinking, well, we need to call the police. We need to start working through our list of basically the way we try to process those types of things. And so we made sure the police were contacted and we started working through those things. And as I talked with this lady, within just a little while, she's probably a couple of days, right? We're trying to think through all the processes and help her as we can. And she sends me a text and says, hey, my attorney wants all of our notes from our conversations. I'd been meeting with her and her husband over the course of probably a couple of months, and we'd been working through communication, and there's a couple of different things we've been working through. And so they also were attending our church, although not members. And so her attorney said, this will really help us make the case against this husband with the DFS and all those types of things. And I called another brother who was close to us, just about an hour away. They had been former members of his church. They were not members of ours, but he had been working with them as a local pastor as well. And so I called this dear brother pastor. Hey, I just got off the phone with this person. He said, oh, she just contacted me as well. And I said, interesting. So how are you going to respond to her? Right, because I'm thinking, I don't want to respond in a way that makes her hurt deeper, frustrates her unnecessarily, but I also don't want to do anything that's going to put our ministry in, or myself, in a position where it's untenable. It's not biblical, or we're not doing what's wise. And so in the process of, I talked with him and he said, you know what, I don't know how I'm going to handle it. Well, I'm thinking that's not good. I said, well, why don't you let me call our church attorney, because I think I'm pretty sure I understand the law and I understand what I'm going to say, but I don't want to do something out of too much caution, but at the same time, I don't want to do something that would hurt our ministry in any way. I called our church attorney I have a cell number. So I called him and we talked for a minute, and then I called another attorney and they both said the same thing. And they gave me the advice that I thought they would give. So I called our brother pastor back and said, hey, this is what I heard. He said, well, my dad's an attorney as well. I called him. He agrees. So we move forward. But in the process of moving forward, which meant because I was a pastor, because he was a pastor, they came as a couple who were, in our case, visiting the church. In his case, were members of the church. It was all pastoral. And so from that standpoint, I could share the information I said to her or talk to her about, because she was giving me permission to share it. But for me to talk about him, that fell under the privilege as a pastor, right? So I wasn't just simply talking to them as a counselor, I was talking to them as a pastor. There's a significant difference between those two things, right? So we're going to talk about that some to try to help you think through how do you handle legal issues and what steps do you take and how do you think through it. So let's work through, again, there's just three main points. The first one is this: understanding the role of confidentiality in biblical counseling. All biblical counselors should strongly prefer not to disclose personal information of others and should make every effort to help the counselee find ways to resolve a problem as privately as possible. Our goal should be, just our normal goal should be, to protect information. It should not be something that we want to gossip about. We'll talk about that in a moment. It shouldn't be something that we just want to share. And sometimes you hear both serious issues and then sometimes just interesting issues. And if you have a close friend, it might be a temptation to say, you'll never believe what I heard today. Or you'll never believe what someone said. And those could be temptations for you or for others. But we want to be as quiet as possible, resolve it as privately as possible. Notice there's a few statements here. The Bible strongly commends godly speech. Right, Ephesians 4:29. Our speech should be to build up. So even when we ask ourselves a question, in what setting should I or would I be sharing someone else's story? Well, it needs to only be, and any temptation I have to share someone's story that with another person should only be to build up. So that cuts a lot of sharing out just from the simple spot of my goal needs to be right. And equally strongly condemns gossip. And there's a whole bunch of passages there for you. Right? We are not to be gossipers. I am thankful in my own personal life, my wife, if I don't know that anybody in the world could hate gossip more than she does. She is convicted to the core of her soul not to gossip. So if she does know I'm here in Lafayette, I gave her that much information, but she just simply doesn't ask questions. We share calendars. We do things to keep me accountable. But if I've talked to a couple or if I've talked with a lady and I've had another man here, she will never say, hey, I saw on your calendar that you talked to so-and-so. What did y'all talk about? She's never asked that question, I don't think, ever. Because she realizes that unless I come to her and say, this is information you need, she assumes she doesn't need it. Why? Because she doesn't want, even though I'm her husband, and yes, we share all kinds of things. We've shared 5 children, right? We share ministry together. We live together. All those things we share. But what we don't share is information that should be kept in confidence. When ladies come to her, I know if she comes to me and says, hey, there's some issue I need to talk with you about. I know it has to be serious. She needs good advice, or advice, maybe not good advice. She needs advice. Right, there's something that she needs because she never says, hey, I had coffee with this lady and this is what she shared. Right, because in our home, we practice just a no gossip policy. And that's good. Our kids are like the folks, the inquiring minds. They want to know, right? So sometimes my kids ask questions and my wife and I both just take opportunity to say, no, that's not information you need. Right, I know we're in the same church. You're pastor's kids. You hear lots of stuff, I'm sure, but this is not information that you need. And it's taken time, of course, for my kids to learn that. So just as much as we need to say what builds up, the Bible also equally and strongly condemns any kind of gossip. So when someone comes to us, it should be private information. I have visited with counselees, and over the years, I've been in pastoral ministry about 28 years, I think. And as I've visited with various people, I've had people, even in the last year, say, well, our former pastor, we always know who he'd talk to every Sunday morning because he would mention somewhere in the sermon something that he had heard in the week. And you could look around and guess what the person was, right? Oh, he must have heard their story finally or whatever. Right? May that never be said about one of us. That's just not the way the Bible encourages us to handle information. And so we want to be committed to speaking and using our language in ways that honor God and honor the people that we're talking to. The next thing here says, the clear requirement for all biblical counselors and Christians is to live worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Philippians 1:27, of course, says, that we are to walk worthy. I was thinking about this particular point earlier and thought about 1 Timothy